Hello and good day, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Magic, the First Pioneers Podcast. This is a podcast all about the Pioneer format, and we like to keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. I am joined here by my co-host, as well as a special guest. Ryan, if you want to take it away.
Hello, everybody. This is Ryan coming at you live without interruption or noise from the outside in Japan. And today, our special guest, if you don't mind introducing yourself real quick.
Hey, I'm ConnorMan11 on Twitch, just Connor, I guess. Glad to be here on the podcast. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I think we've certainly brought you up a few times whenever we've been talking about some interesting aggressive lists, some people playing some different things, as well as just, you know, I think I've tweeted out your stream a couple times, been a big fan of watching your stream.
Yeah, cool. It's always good to see you guys there.
Yeah, we've had control players on, we've had mid-range players on, we've had combo players on, but we haven't really had an aggro player on, so I think it's way past time to do so. So,
well, I think it's more than just that. I think that, you know, really what I think is interesting, I always like about your stream, is that you're playing a lot of interesting aggro decks, you know. There's a bit of a reputation for a lot of aggro players as being kind of brainless, but it really is about, like, finding the line, thinking towards your outs, moving towards the future plays. Like, there's a lot more depth to aggro, and I think that you really do a lot to exemplify that is why we were looking for some input. But to introduce the topic that we'd wanted to talk here, and then we'll get a little bit more about you. Ryan, do you want to talk about the topic?
Yeah, so again, in aggressive decks, you need to have really good early drops. So we decided that today we're going to talk about the best one drops in Pioneer. You know, we talked about how, you know, maybe some decks were kind of missing good one drops when we had Gavin on a few episodes back. And I think this would be like a really good way to kind of explore this topic a little bit more. But before we do that, maybe, Connor, if you don't mind, just kind of giving us a little background on your MTG history, you know, like how long you've been playing and, you know, what kind of things you've done in MTG, as well as why do you play Pioneer?
Yeah, so I started Magic the Gathering, I guess, back, it would be, I guess, at the beginning of, like, the original Ravnica. I'm not really sure what year that is, you know how everybody goes by sets, but I started back in Ravnica, and then I played for maybe 3 or 4 years, and I kind of quit for 8 years, about 8 years, and then I came back about maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I think that was around maybe Amon Kett when I rejoined MTG and started playing again. And, you know, I don't know, since then I tried, it took me about a year to find out what I really wanted to, you know, what kind of a player I was. Mm-hmm. And then that was when I realized that I, you know, was more of an aggro kind of player. You know, I like my early one drops and stuff like that, and just going straight to the face, getting my opponent's life total to zero or lower, killing them. That was kind of my jam, and so I've been doing a lot of that for the last little while.
And what about Pioneer? When did you get into Pioneer? Like, what brought you to the format?
I kind of got into Pioneer actually right when it started. Like, as soon as it started, like, you know, there was a lot of hype with just brand new formats coming out, and you know, people were thinking, oh, it could be like a, you know, like a cooler modern, like some cards, like, and everyone was always like ranting about, oh, maybe like, you know, these certain cards that, you know, don't ever see play in modern can see play in, you know, can see play in Pioneer, right? And so there was a lot of hype with that, and I joined right at the beginning locally. You know, I played a lot of paper and had some friends, and, you know, we were all hyped on it, had our decks ready to go and everything, and so that's kind of how I got into it. And when I started playing, I started with mono blue tempo because I had great success playing that deck in standard when it was legal with like Curious Obsession and Silent Storm Tamer and Tempest Djinn. I played that deck in the very early stages and had a lot of success with it. And so I just kind of thought, you know, that deck gets rotated out of standard, but, you know, maybe it's playable in Pioneer. And so that's why I started with Pioneer, obviously playing a bunch of one drops, you know, as it should be.
Very budget as well.
The rest is history. Yeah. And the rest is history. Now we're here and, what, maybe a year and a half or something into Pioneer now, and we're still going strong.
So I know you also play Modern as well. Like, what would you say? I mean, real quick, this is kind of off topic a little bit, but what would you say is the difference between Modern and Pioneer that, you know, since you play both kind of equal? I wouldn't say equally, but rather often.
Yeah, so I actually do play quite a bit of Modern too. Modern is a bit more... Modern obviously has, like, a higher power level. And then because of that, it sort of generates this, like, sort of different metagame. Like, there's actually some cards that are, like, that are just really, that are playable in Modern. They're very good in Modern. And then you try to bring them over to Pioneer, and they're just terrible. And because Pioneer, a lot of times it feels like, you know, sometimes it can be a very removal, like, Fatal Push, removal-heavy format. Like, a card like Scourge of, Scourge of the Sky? The Black Scourge, the one that, you know, 2 mana, it's power and tough, it's power and toughness equal to the highest life total player. And, you know, a card like that, we have tried numerous times to play in Pioneer, and it's just not doable. You know, I keep getting beat up every time I bring a brew, and we've tried more than a few times. But then in Modern, that card's pretty well a staple. So, you know, there's differences like that that make it interesting. And then there's also cards that, you know, are obviously not good enough for Modern that you can play in Pioneer, right? There's obviously tons of those, which make just for, you know, it's just a little different format, which is kind of cool. So you can go back and forth between both, right?
And would you say it's also different enough from Standard now that, you know, it's an interesting new puzzle to kind of to put together?
Yeah, I don't really play a lot of Standard, but from what I've seen, it does look quite a bit different. Standard looks a lot sort of like lower power than Pioneer does. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, you don't have access as far back as you do in Pioneer in Standard. Yeah. So from an outsider looking in, that's what it looks like to me. Standard looks pretty good too, honestly, but it does look a bit more, you know, longer game, less power than Pioneer.
Okay. Oh, great. Okay, well, you guys want to jump into this then? You want to go on to our first talking point?
Yeah, so what's your first talking point here, Ryan?
All right, so I thought we should start with creatures. And I would say that Counterman is pretty good at evaluating, you know, the good one-drop creatures in the format. So let's have you start, Connor. What do you think is one of the best one-drops? You don't really have to give us, you know, number one, two, three, or four, but choose one and tell us why you think it's one of the best one-drop creatures in Pioneer.
I mean, there's quite a few good one-drops in Pioneer. It really depends on, like, especially now more so than ever, you know, what the meta is kind of doing, because it seems to be changing just about every week or two. But Llanowar Elves and obviously Elvish Mystic, which is, you know, just the same thing, different name. That's definitely always going to be a staple. You know, your classic, you know, you've got 8 Llanowar Elves in your deck, turn 1 Llanowar Elves, you know, into turn 2, you know, a 3 mana, or I guess it's called mana value, you know, a 3 mana value spell, right? It's always going to be a good play, right? And so I think Llanowar Elves is always going to be something you'll see. And then along with that is obviously you've got Burn, you know. Burn, Red White Burn always has Soulscar and Monastery Swiftspear are very good in that deck as one drops.
Mm-hmm. The Prowess creatures are
on plan.
So yeah. you were talking about Elvish Mystic and Llanowar Elves. Would you put, I think, Gilded Goose up there as well, or would you say that's not as good?
Yeah, like Goose is still good, but I don't think it's as good because, like, Goose definitely has its place. But, you know, like, for example, in, I think, Jund Citadel runs Gilded Goose, right? Because them sacrificing the food actually triggers, you know, their sacrifice effects, right?
Yeah.
Like Mayhem Devil and stuff like that. So that actually matters. But in most decks, you know, you don't want to just use Gilded Goose on turn two and then use up the food and then be out of the food, right?
So
that's would be my point for Llanowar Elves over Gilded Goose. But I still think Goose is pretty good, too.
Okay, so you have Elvish
Mystic. Goose might see play if we didn't have the other two, but yeah, I definitely agree there. I think that that's the first place I would have gone as far as those four, is saying the elves and then the red super aggressive creatures. Yeah. Probably can fit something else into the, you know, I feel like Lava Runner is like just a step below if we're going with the red aggressive ones.
But I wouldn't say it's one of the best top 10, but I would say it's still good. So I think I think those four, we can kind of agree. Probably the top five, you know, those are going to be interesting. I think after this, it gets a little bit more tricky. So, Kevin, what did you go with for, like, another good one drop in the format?
You know, it's tough. I think I went with the black. I went to black. I went with the Ebon of
Knights of the Ebon Legion.
Knight of the Ebon Legion. Yeah, as far as, you know, the black aggressive decks, for me, that's the premier one. I think that the, you know, the other one drops that the black deck plays, it's usually either the warrior, man, I'm forgetting the name, Bloodsoaked Champion, or it's the one that also comes back tapped, Dreadwanderer.
Yeah,
sorry, late for me. So those I think are good. I think that the best one though really is the Ebon Legion, as far as, you know, when you think about kind of tempo is really important for these aggressive decks. Mm-hmm. You want to just kind of get ahead and grow, and that's what the Ebon Legion does. You know, that's kind of why the elves are so good. They're getting ahead early and they're helping you get to something bigger. You know, it's really kind of about the tempo.
Yeah, and I would agree. I think that's out of all of those black one drops, that Knight of the Ebon Legion is probably the best one there. I like the other ones, but I don't know if I would put them in my top 10. How about you, Connor? Would you put those other black one drops in your top 10?
Yeah, I definitely have Knight of the Ebon Legion. That's definitely way up there in the format. Also, there should be an honorable mention here for a card I think is going to pop up here coming up quite a bit, and that just plays second place in the Mana Traders series over the weekend here, is Tulkov Exemplar is a really good one drop.
Yeah, I agree. And you were playing that in your red-white vehicles deck, right?
Yeah, I had a vehicles dwarf deck going for a while, and actually the problem with that deck was it just didn't have enough good one drops past Tulkov Exemplar and the one mana vehicle, Consular Dreadnought. That was it. So hopefully we get that in Strixhaven, but you know, we'll see.
I hope so. One more good dwarves. They've shown like a 5-mana dwarf in like a 3-mana dwarf. I'm just like, no, 1 mana. Come on.
Yeah, please.
Well, I think I figured this out, you know, a week or two ago, and I've been saying it to Ryan, and I've been saying it to anyone who will listen, is that I realize why Wizards doesn't print enough good one drops is because they print for limited, where one drops are bad, and they print for EDH, and every other format doesn't matter.
Mm, true, true, true. It's a hot take, but I can agree with that.
Yeah, it's a salty take.
Tilcraft, definitely on my list. My other one drop that I think we should talk about is Mausoleum Wanderer. I believe that Spirits is also going to be somewhere in either Tier 1, Tier 1.5, or Tier 2, and this is just a great card to have in the Spirits deck. Maybe a little bit in like the Flying deck, just because they're playing quite a number of Spirits as well. But being able to sacrifice it to counter everything early on, it's kind of like an upgrade over the Siren Storm Tamer, I think is the name of the other one that was in Mono Blue. But it's not a Spirit, of course. So as far as like those types of abilities to be able to counter stuff, it's top. It's at the top. So did you guys have Mausoleum Wanderer on your list as well?
I actually didn't. Yeah, I didn't have it up there either. But Spirits is not something to ignore.
Yeah, something to respect. Maybe not the best, but...
And, you know, it does kind of seem like a theme here that we're kind of saying, like, these decks exist because they have good one-drops, kind of more than the other way around. Like, we're not going out and saying, hey, I want to build X kind of deck, let's find the best one-drops for it. We're saying, like, these are the best one-drops, and that makes an aggro deck in these colors or archetypes. Yeah.
So any other good one-drops? Anybody else want to come?
Yeah, so I think definitely one of the high mentions that I have to include is Stitcher Supplier, just as an enabler for a lot of decks. You know, kind of one of a kind as far as putting cards in your graveyard, just being good sacrifice fodder. He's absolutely on my top 10. He or she, I think it's she, is definitely on my top 10.
So it sees play in Arcanist. And before that, we had Dredge, which is not really a thing anymore, but still not bad, right?
Well, and Jund Citadel.
Okay, and Jund Citadel. Is it in Jund Citadel? Okay, I didn't know that, actually.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I can agree to that. I think that's a good card to have. One of the best enablers, like you said. All right, Connorman, yeah, anything else?
I actually don't think Jund Citadel plays that anymore. They're usually playing the Cauldron Familiar and Witch's Oven, it seems like, which is actually pretty insane. So you can maybe put Cauldron Familiar up there now with Witch's Oven. If that's seeing play, that's just a really good little kind of two-piece thing you can do to just, you know, cycle your familiar back and forth, blocking and draining your opponent for one life.
And I'm gonna disagree with you there. I'm gonna say Cauldron Familiar doesn't deserve a spot. Yes, it's part of like the combo, but I just don't think it does anything without having the, outside of that deck, of course, but also without having the oven in play. It seems like almost worthless, to be honest. That's my hot take.
Yeah, you definitely need it with the oven. For sure.
My next choice would be Alseed of Life's Bounty, the 1/1 lifelink that has the protection from any color effect if you pay one and sacrifice it. I believe this sees play in the black-white auras. You've played that a lot, right, Connor?
Actually, no, I haven't played that deck really at all, but that's definitely a very good deck, and I had both of the 1-drops in that deck on my list.
I think either those two, so the Elside of Life's Bounty and the Black One, but I think also maybe Dauntless Bodyguard and Selfless Savior kind of are in the same conversation as far as being those like protective one drops in those, you know, cheap Lurrus kind of decks.
Yeah. Again, I wouldn't say they're the best one drops, but I would say they're very important. They're very good.
Yeah, Elseed was the one of the four of those that made my top 10. I didn't include the Hateful Eidolon, but it could definitely be up there.
Anything else? Any other one drops you guys think we should mention? Maybe some honorable mentions or anything like that?
Well, I think we'll definitely get into some honorable mentions when we're kind of saying, like, yeah, these are good ones. They kind of don't have a home, or we'd like to see them played more. You know, I think Thraben Inspector is just a raw power, very high power card that really just doesn't have any kind of home for it right now.
I would kind of say Favored Hoplite. I mean, I don't know how well...
Wait, which?
I don't know how well Heroic is doing right now, but it seemed really good. You know, when the meta's good, or when the meta's, how can I say, ripe for Heroic taking over, Hoplite, it's very, very good. It's got, like, that built-in effect that protects it from, you know, any damage, basically. Right? If it's targeted?
Yeah, I mean, you know me. I love playing a white deck with 31 drops or something like that, but there's just a whole list of them that just aren't quite good enough right now, it seems. Yeah.
Is Bomat Courier good enough to be in the top 10? What do you think, Connor?
I don't think so.
Hey, you were saying, Connor?
I don't think Bomat Courier is... I mean, I just saw a burn deck this last weekend, did well in the challenge with 3, but I wouldn't put Courier up there.
It's almost...
I've always been underwhelmed with Courier. Like, a lot of people play it, but for me, it always runs into... There's just so many X2s and, you know, Stitcher Suppliers. Like, it feels like almost every deck has a good answer to it other than, like, Control. Mm. And even then, you know, if it gets a Shark Token, that's not good at all.
So, yeah, any other decks... Or, sorry, any other cards you want to mention then, Connor?
No, I think we covered quite a bit there, to be honest. I will say that Hateful Eidolon, the one you guys are mentioning out of Ores, has been a serious pain to play against. Because when it dies, they draw cards for the Ores on it. So that card is really... I really hate playing against that card.
So it's 1-2 lifelink, right?
Yeah, 1-2 lifelink, and then when it dies, they draw a card for each... when an enchanted creature dies, they draw a card for each enchantment on it.
I mean, honestly, the design of that card is great. I mean, by itself, I don't really like it. You know, outside of that deck, it's not that good. But it kind of reminds me, like, as far as their design process going forward, I would love to see more cards like that in Toolcraft Exemplar. You know, these one-drops that kind of go along with whatever the theme of that set is, and they get really big or they have a really nice effect. Like, for example, I know they tried something in Kaldheim, the Ascended Spirits, I think it's called, that has, like, the level up, but those actually, I don't think, are that good. Like, that same type of Figure of Destiny type card has been a very big letdown in Pioneer. Like, the...
Well, so Warden of the First Tree was a great card in Standard, but really the difference for both of those is that no matter how big it gets, Fatal Push still kills it.
There was no Fatal Push back then, right?
Yeah, not Standard.
Not until way after Tarkir. All right. We're kind of continuing with this topic then of creatures. And the next thing I want to talk about is the tribal cards that we have out there. So do we have any good tribal one drops? As well as, like, maybe what are we missing? What do we need more of? And Connor, man, I know you've been playing the Black-White Humans a little bit.
Yeah, I have. That deck's great. It is not seeing enough play.
So what are the one drops in that deck, if you don't mind me asking?
It's got obviously Bloodsoaked Champion is very good. You know, just a 1-mana 2/1 that you can get 2 mana to bring it back tap if you attack with a creature. Dauntless Bodyguard is very good too. You can get loops going with Dauntless Bodyguard and Lurrus, where you cast a Lurrus and then cast Bodyguard to protect the Lurrus, and then it's going to kill the Lurrus. And then a card you guys actually mentioned, it, Thraben Inspector. It's also quite good in that deck. It's a human, obviously. It's a 1-mana 1/2, gives you a clue. But a card that's really actually been, like, unbelievably good in the deck that really kind of surprised me, that's really won me a lot of matches, is straight up, has been Giant Killer. Yeah. Mount Card is overperformed and then some. Like, seriously. Like, the adventure half of it is, like, 3-mana destroy a creature with power 4 or greater. It's an instant. And it's a 1-mana 1/2 that has 2-mana to tap target creature. Tap it. And it's just, like, it actually makes the Auras matchup favorable.
Yeah.
Because you can kill a creature and then play a tapper. Right? And that's just insane. The card is, you know, and then I won a match, I think it was maybe a week and a half ago, against a control player where I just giant killed Doyorian, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just insane. And then all of a sudden they didn't have a creature in play and I'm attacking for, you know, with all my humans, all my 2 and 3 power humans for 12 or 13 and they conceded next turn, right? So giant killer has definitely been an all-star. And then the last one drop is Coldspell Cleric, which has also been pretty good too. If you guys don't know that one, it's from Kaldheim. It's like a 1-mana 1/1 in white. It's Vigilance, and when it enters the battlefield, if it was a second spell you cast this to, and you put a 1/1 counter on target creature. So you can put the counter wherever you want. You can put it on your Mew Vault.
Mm-hmm.
It's that card's been good too, just for some versatility, you know.
Real quick question. You know, we're talking about Lurrus, you know, the combo and stuff like that. Would you say Lurrus has made one drops playable again? In the past, I kind of feel like, you know, these really fast, low-to-the-ground decks were just they were so susceptible to, like, board wipes and stuff like that. Does having Lurrus make these decks viable again, like in Pioneer?
I mean, Lurrus definitely helps. I don't know if, you know, I wouldn't go so far to say as that they weren't playable before. I'm not sure if they were or weren't, but, you know, it definitely helps a ton. And it's not even necessarily, like, you know, everyone just... You know, the first side is that, oh, Lurrus is just good against decks with Wrath and stuff. It's actually good against, you know, a number of, like, you know, if you're against a mid-range deck or another creature deck, mm-hmm. just getting Lurrus to be able to block with a creature and then just recast it the next turn, right? It's also just, you know, an insane, like, for example, with Dauntless Bodyguard, I've had many games where I can block with the Bodyguard, block a giant lifelink against Auras, sacrifice the Bodyguard so their lifelink doesn't deal any damage, mm-hmm. sacrifice before damage, and then they don't gain any life. Right,
mm-hmm.
and then you recast it next turn, and you know. So Lurrus is just insane. There's no other way to put it. That card is just really good.
I mean, Kevin, you can back me up here, but I believe, you know, before we had the companions, pretty much Mono Black was the only one that really had like a lot of one drops that was seen play because of all that recursion, the ability to get all that stuff back, like with Blood-Soaked Champion.
So you're talking about pre-companions?
Yeah, pre-companions. I don't really remember any other decks that were like really low to the ground aside from Mono Black.
You know, Spirits was around. We certainly had decks playing the Elves.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think that he probably did a lot to bring back some specifically one drops. And I think that part of that is that, you know, you're not running three drops. You really need to be able to double spell early. So you can't like just play a bunch of good two drops. That really wouldn't work for your curve.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, tribal one drops... So, real quick, Connor, would you say that Humans has enough one drops at the moment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. There's actually a lot of other one drops that you could play that I'm not playing. So, there's tons.
So, Humans, we don't need more of. So, Kevin, how about you? What other tribal one drops?
Well, I mean, I don't mind that question, too. Like, I still, you know, I got a nice place in my heart for a Village Gossipmonger.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that card has just definitely fallen off of the... We've got enough, you know, 2-power creatures that one probably falls off the list.
Yeah. Used to be good. You know, mono white and stuff like that.
Could be. Could still be good. Who knows?
But yeah,
it's 2-3-for-1. Come on.
So, Kevin, what do you think? What other tribal decks have enough one drops? Which ones do you think?
None of them. I think they all, I mean, even Humans, I wish there were more one drops. Like, I mean, like you kind of alluded to, like, this was, I think, my biggest kind of complaint from the last few years. I would just love to see more tribal decks be possible, and so many of them are just held back by not having one drops. You know, like if we had Savannah Lions, that would literally see play. Just a vanilla 2/1, because maybe then you could play it in a cat deck. Or, you know, I feel like every tribal deck would love even just a vanilla 2/1, and that's how bad our one drops are, that a 2/1 would see play.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see more cards like that as well. Yeah, I mean, if you don't mind me just going through my list real quick as far as what I think, what decks have enough good one drops and which ones don't? And you guys can agree or disagree with me. So I'm going to say Spirits has enough one drops. You know, we got a lot of good stuff from Kaldheim and, you know, we had some stuff from before. So do you guys agree or disagree with that?
I say more one drops for Spirits. But I'm probably going to be a broken record here.
What about you?
Yeah, it's only got 8. It's wet on the... it could definitely use another one drop. I think 11 is the magic number.
Okay. Hmm. So almost there, though.
Especially with...
yeah.
They only really have one aggressive one drop, especially. So if they could get another one that's kind of an aggressive creature. And really, I think the line is it's got to be able to attack for 2. And
mm-hmm.
most decks don't have that.
Okay, next, how about elves? Would you guys say, you know, we have Elvish Mystic, we have the Llanowar Elves, and I believe we also have, like, the black one that taps for mana. We have quite a good number of elves, but we don't have an Allosaurus Shepherd, so that's one bad thing about it. So do we have enough one-drops in elves? Agree or disagree? I mean, what do you guys think?
Maybe I can agree there, you know, just jumping in. I feel like what they're missing is probably more that they don't have the lords.
Yes.
And that's probably elves' problem more than missing one drops. But if there was a good one drop, I wouldn't say no to it. I wouldn't be upset about us randomly getting something that was good for elves.
And they have that 1/2 guy that searches for a land as well from M20. Yeah, what do you think, Connor? Agree or disagree with that? Elves has enough one drops.
I think elves definitely have enough one drops. Their problem is the payoffs are not there.
Yeah.
They have a bunch of average payoffs, you know, and then there's not really that many good lords, right?
Yeah, and there's no crater hoof, so there's no reason to play, you know, any kind of elf ball type of deck either. So
yeah.
Exactly. All right, next one. Zombies. So zombies, you know, you're talking about the Dread Wanderer. We also have the Crypt Breaker. How do you guys feel about zombie one drops? Do we have enough? Do we need more? Anybody want to field that?
I guess, yeah, I'll keep going first here. We'll keep this order so that I don't keep waiting for you. I mean, I'm going to say it for everyone, but no, we don't have enough. I think I would love to see something more on the power level of like a Carnifage or a Bloodgast, what's it called? You know, mm-hmm. something a little bit better. For me, part of what the problem with zombies is that they're kind of very mixed on what they should be playing. You know, like Crypt Breaker is a very slow, grindy card,
mm-hmm.
and you want to be holding up mana and like drawing cards. And Stitch of Supplier is a graveyard card that's not actually very aggressive. And then, you know, I guess you've got like Dread Wanderer or like Direcraft Ghoul, but you're kind of all over the place. You don't have like a bunch of any of those individual kind of cards.
What do you think, Connor? Do you think a card maybe like Gravecrawler would be good to have in Pioneer?
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, Gravecrawler is a 2/1, and you can recast it from your graveyard if you have a zombie in play. I think that card's really good. But I don't know too much about zombies, but from what you guys are talking about with the one drops, it doesn't sound like they have enough good one drops that can all kind of put a plan together. They're all kind of doing separate things, and they're all, you know, they might be a good card on them by themselves, but you know, together it's kind of, they're all over the place.
I really hope we get like the was it the Unearth or what, the one where the zombies come back to life? You know, we had like Drelf's Messenger and Innistrad,
Patriarch's Bidding, because that was my deck growing up.
What was it?
Patriarch's Bidding with zombies.
What does that do? I don't know.
getting off topic, I think that's 5 mana sorcery. Okay. Like each player chooses a creature type and returns all creatures of any of the name types to play or something like that.
Sounds like an EDH card.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's where it sees play.
All right. Okay, my next tribal archetype I want to talk about is goblins. So goblins has, you know, the one that pings, I forgot his name. The tap has the haste. We have the Skirk Clan, or was it the Skirk Prospector? Sorry, we have a couple good one drops, I think. But the question is, are they good? We have Foundry Street's Denizen, which gets a +1/+1 whenever goblin comes into play.
+1/+0.
Yeah, +1/+0. Yeah. So yeah. What do you think, Kevin? You want to start us off?
I'm going to say they still need more one drops. You know, Legion Loyalist is probably the other one I would make sure to mention.
Yeah.
But I do think that, you know, they don't have Swiss Spear, they don't have Soulscar Mage, and there's a huge difference in power between, you know, what are you saying, Fanatical Firebrand mm-hmm. and a Swiss Scar Mage.
Yeah, so we need something that, of course, they're not going to get some kind of prowess trigger, but maybe something that's more along the lines of, I don't know, like a Pile Driver at one at one mana or something like that, like a 0/1. But yeah, what do you think, Connor? How do you feel about goblins?
Yeah, I've never really thought goblins was a viable deck in Pioneer. I didn't think it was close ever. I've seen people try it out. It looked pretty mopey. And yeah, I just think that there's really no reason to play goblins. It's unless just you're trying to be an aggro deck, you know, and just play burn. It's just miles better, right? Because yeah, burn just has much better one drops. Soul Scar, Swift Spear.
Lavalon is better. I was gonna say, do you think the problem is that there aren't any good like lords? There's no reason that, like you said, they're aggressive, but there's really no way to kind of deal more damage than a red deck would, or sorry, like a burn deck would. I don't think we even have Goblin Chieftain, do we?
We've got the one that reduces mana. We don't have the one that gives +1/+1 haste.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chieftain would be sweet for sure. But, yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily that it's like lacking lords, because the Goblin deck in Modern is kind of an interesting deck where it's kind of got this combo also put in there and stuff like that. And Goblins is interesting because, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, people mistake Goblins for just being a deck that just, you know, goes, here's a bunch of Goblins and I'm going to attack you and kill you with them. Whereas that's not really, you know, what Goblins do. Goblins are kind of mediocre at doing everything, right? That's kind of been the lore behind Goblins, right? So, and that's kind of what the deck does. It does a bunch of different things. Like, oh, here's my, like, 2-mana 1/1 with Flash that's, like, not a good removal spell, but it's also a Goblin, right? And that's relevant. And, you know, it's kind of doing stuff like that. And in Pioneer, you just don't have a lot of that, you know, a lot of these different tools on Goblins, right? And you're especially lacking combo. And, you know, it's missing a lot of things, along with the Lords, too. But I don't think the Lord would be the most important thing. Like, and, you know, you can also play, there's an 8-whack deck in Modern that was kind of like Goblins with Goblin Grenade. That was more of an aggro deck. And obviously in Pioneer, it's lacking, you know, you don't have Goblin Guide and stuff like that, right? So it's just not fast enough.
Yeah, we need
something like a Goblin Guide, something like a Goblin Grenade. I might be more interested, but yeah, there's really no reason to play it right now.
Okay. And one more deck that I think we should talk about is Vampires. We have Amit on from time to time. He's a big Vampire player. We talked about Knight of the Ebon Legion being one of the best one drops, but does it have enough one drops? I know we have, like, if you play Black White, there's a 2/1 guy that has Ascension, or sorry, City's Blessing. But does Vampires need more one drops? Yes or no?
So they definitely need more one drops. It's something that there are some good one drops, and again, they're a little bit scatterbrained as far as what strategy they're trying. Like, there's some good Aristocrat one drops, there's some good, you know, like life gain one drops kind of thing. Yeah, and there are the black and white ones, which previously, you know, going 2-color aggro decks was a little bit tricky. Maybe it's better now. I am actually excited, though, you know, new set coming out. We do have a one drop vampire that's making me look at vampires again as an aggro list, but we need more.
What does it do?
It's one of the deans. You know, as a 1/1, it's like a 1/1 lifelink menace, and whenever an opponent's creature dies, you exile it, and you can pay 2 to get a 1/1 or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's legendary, too, from Oxfam.
Yeah, it is legendary. That's unfortunate.
Nice. Very relevant.
So, real quick, as far as, you know, I think we talked about enough about tribal 1-drops, but I do want to say I would like to see... What?
You were the one leading the conversation. There were a couple tribes that I'm definitely like, man, if we had another couple one drops, you know, I do think Rogues is not far.
Yeah.
We didn't mention the, what is it called? Oh, the one good one. The Thieves Guild Enforcer is just a really strong card that really hasn't found any home in Pioneer. And I do think it needs another buddy or two to really get to the edge there. But like I was kind of saying, Cats is very specifically being held back for not having one drops. You know, they've got... I think 3 different 3/3s for 2. They've got 3 different lords, but they don't have anything to do on one, really, and that makes it not a deck at all.
Yeah, they got enough lords. Like you said, just need more of those early drops. Merfolk is another one I think that needs some good one drops.
Merfolk's a long way, probably, but...
Yeah.
Even, like, Elementals, if it had something, could be maybe a tribal deck, and that doesn't have one drops.
It's got some good 2-and-1, 2-and-3 drops, but not really anything in the 1 drop. Dwarves, I think Connor can probably...
oh, God. I remember you playing the 1/3 vanilla...
Staunch Defender.
Yeah, that was really bad.
Yeah.
Staunch Shield Mid is not a playable card, I don't think, in any format.
Yeah.
Don't put that in your deck.
No, it is not.
I switched it out for Thraben Inspector just because, you know, the artifact isn't so bad to have, you know, when you got the Toolcraft Exemplar on turn one.
Yeah, the reason I had Shield Maiden was because I wanted to trigger with Magda, and Magda's a really insane card. Instant speed Tinker or Find a Dragon.
Yeah,
is nothing to not something to ignore. It's that ability is insane and won me a ton of matches. Where just, you know, end of your opponent's turn, grab a Dragonlord Tarka or something, right? Or grab Embercleave. Mm-hmm. It comes in and equips right away. Type deal. So, and it's a lord too. It pumps all the power of other dwarfs. Which also
maybe clerics too would be one more I'm just thinking of.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think they have some really good really interesting 2 and 3 drops, but not a lot of good 1 drops in clerics.
Yeah, I think their best 1 drop is probably the Archpriest, which doesn't want other clerics around, so that's kind of awkward.
Yeah, the one that brings the 5/5 demon into play. You mean?
No, the one that gets for party, it gets +1/+1 when it attacks.
Oh, yeah, is that Archpriest of Iona or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, I know
keep my eye on that card.
There's also the speaker, the heaven speaker, whatever, that puts a angel in the play if you have 27 life, I think.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. You know, we're not even talking about, you know, I would love, you know, if there was a 1 drop for dragons, if there was a 1 drop for angels, like some of those kind of decks, you know, you can't make a tribal deck of something that starts its curve at 4.
Well, they have really Slumbering Dragon. That's like from M13, I think. It's a 3/3 dragon that did nothing for like 5 turns. Okay, so I think that's good for the tribal topic. Do you guys want to move on to spells? Or do you have anything else you want to say about the tribal
topic? Yeah, so I want to pick your brain there just to make sure we're on the same page. So you're talking about spells that are, you know, when I say 1 drop, I expect we're adding something to the board. So you're talking about like enchantments you're playing on turn 1?
Yeah.
Are you counting Thoughtseize here is my question.
So we're talking about sorceries, instants, enchantments, artifacts, anything that's like a 1 drop. Basically everything else other than creatures. Things that would be playable in Pioneer. So maybe you can focus more on stuff that would be main deckable. That might make it a little easier.
So is my favorite 1 drop a tapped Triome?
What'd you say?
Is my favorite 1 drop a tapped Triome then?
No. That's not a spell. That's a land.
That's my favorite 1 drop to play against.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
But so, yeah, I think Chain to the Rocks is a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
It's on my list. It doesn't get as much attention as Thoughtseize and Fatal Push, but that card's amazing. Exiling cards right now is amazing, especially with Lewis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can't. Of course, Thoughtseize, number one. One drop, not one drop, but spell, I mean. Fatal Push, of course, is going to be on the list. I don't think we really have to debate that. So Fatal Push, Change of the Rocks, Thoughtseize. Again, after these three, I think it's kind of gets a little bit more difficult to choose. So Kevin.
I think Oath of Nyssa probably gets an easy mention.
Yeah, so Oath of Nyssa, top 5, you would say?
Ooh.
I definitely think Wild Slash is in there.
Yeah,
Wild Slash
probably Wild Slash gets its place first.
I was thinking Wild Slash. Is Wild Slash still good? Is it worth having? Is it a top 10 one-drop spell for the Pioneer format?
Yeah, I mean, they play 4 Slashes and a Shock and Burn, so they essentially play 5. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else it really sees play other than that. It could be in some sideboards and stuff like that. Sometimes you see it, but... Okay, Phoenix plays it now too, and that deck's going to be big.
Yeah.
I expect that deck to be huge, and that deck plays, I think, 3 of them main deck, 3 Wild Slashes main deck, and it's extremely good in that deck.
Okay, so we have Fatal Push, Oath of Nyssa, Thoughtseize, Wild Slash. What else is on this list? What other spells do you think are main deckable? Like, what would be in your top 10 or... top 5.
Right? I don't know. I can't really think of a lot of one drops that you want in your main deck other than, you know, what you guys were talking about. The Opt is pretty good. That's he's playing, you know, in obviously Demon Control and in Arclight Phoenix. It's insane, and it's probably the best deck you can play it in is Arclight Phoenix because, you know, just the fact you get to scry one, put a card in your graveyard, Treasure Cruise, super good there. And then it's great Demon Control too. And I think the Spirits play Opt. I don't think they do.
I have Ethereal Armor on my list. Yeah, the black-white Auras deck. Really, really explosive. You know, we already had the All That Glitters and, you know, having 2 All That Glitter effects. Whew, insane. We talked a little bit about Witch's Oven earlier. I think that kind of deserves an honorable mention as far as a playable one drop in the formats and in that Gen Sacrifice deck. What about Claim the Firstborn? Do you guys think that deserves a spot?
It's kind of a sideboard card, yeah.
And one more card I thought maybe deserves at least a mention. It's not good anymore, but it was good before, is Hardened Scales. You know, back in the early days.
Oh, yeah, that died with Walking Ballista.
And what about Shadow Spear? I guess it doesn't really see any play, but I still think it's kind of good, right?
Yeah, it's a fine magic card. It just doesn't have a home in Pioneer because, two mana to equip, it's tough.
Yeah. So do you guys want to talk about sideboard stuff real quick then? Like, what about good one drop sideboard cards? What are you playing? What about you, Connor? What one drop sideboard cards are you playing?
Yeah, I'm playing Soul Guide for sure in my Lewis decks. In my Jeskai Unsoul deck that I've been playing, I actually 5-1 on it last night, has two on the sideboard, and Stubborn Denial was splashing blue has been just nothing short of amazing. Just stubbing an Extinction Event, even just mana tithing it, just making them pay, not being able to pay one mana, has won me a few matches.
It's hilarious. Oh my God.
And it's Isolate.
So, it's so tilting.
Yeah, it's great on my side, but like that's what happened to me last night. They tapped off for an event and I stubbed it and they just defeated. the spell didn't even resolve. I think Isolate is great, actually. I've got three on my sideboard. I just took the deck list for Mana Traders, but Isolate is insane against the Ores of Ores deck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also really good against Burn post sideboard because they bring in Chain to the Rocks. Mm-hmm. And the way Chain to the Rocks works is, if they play Chain to the Rocks and then that, they target your creature and then you isolate it before that the target resolves, and your creature actually never leaves play. Which is very important when you have something like, because I'm playing Unsoul, I have an All That Glitters and Unsoul artifact on my creature, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's very good there too.
So how does that work again? Sorry.
When Chain to the Rocks, it's a one mana white enchantment, and you enchant a mountain you control, and then when it enters the battlefield, you exile target creature and opponent controls.
Yeah.
Until Chain to the Rocks leaves play, so Chain to the Rocks comes into play, and then it targets, it'll target my creature, and then with that target on the stack, I exile Chain to the Rocks with Isolate because Isolate's an instant, and then my creature actually never leaves play because Chain to the Rocks is worded, which has been extremely relevant.
It doesn't lose the insult a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't totally lose whatever is enchanted to it.
I totally forgot Isolate is all permanents, one mana cost.
Yeah, it's a great magic card, honestly. It's just solid.
Yeah, great anti sideboard cards as well, if you need to get rid of something. One more card I kind of wanted to mention was Cling to Dust. It saw a lot of play during the Uro metagames. Is it still good? Like, would you play it in a sideboard? Or would you play mainboard even? Maybe? I don't know. What do you guys think?
Depends on the deck, I guess.
I think maybe I have one more topic that I want to talk about, if that's okay with you guys, and then we can call it a day. I want to talk about underrated cards, underrated one-drops. Like, what cards do you think should see more play? And I know you guys were kind of talking to me earlier about, you said this was kind of hard, you couldn't really think of any cards that you could talk about, so maybe I can give you my list and you can tell me why or why not you think it should see more play.
This can be our usual game of everyone who's more spiky beating up on Ryan for playing all these noob cards. I think Ryan and I both already mentioned Connor and I both already mentioned some of the underrated one drops when we were going through our list of just one drops, but yeah, whatever you got, if you want to read it off, and we'll judge you harshly.
Okay, so first one for Connor. You were talking about Giant Killer. Would you say it's an underrated card? Should it see more play?
So it's definitely underrated. That card is actually slowly creeping up and seeing play. I've seen it in some sideboards in Modern, actually, as a one-of. And I think the Humans deck in Pioneer just needs to see more play in general. I think that deck is extremely good. And that deck has 4 in the main deck, so I definitely think it should see more play, along with that whole Humans deck seeing more play.
Would it only show up in Humans, you think? Or do you think it has the ability to break out into other white aggressive decks in the future?
I mean, if there was another, mono-white deck that could play it, kind of like when Heliod was around, that deck kind of had a grind plan you know, next to the combo. Mm-hmm. But I think right now that that's just not really available. So I think really its only spot's going to be in the humans deck.
Okay. All right. The next one's for Kevin then. Kevin, how do you feel about Deathrite Shaman?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's slipping down. If the Rogues deck was good, I like the version that has Deathrite Shaman. Other than that, I don't see much of any way to play it. You really kind of have to have some, like, mill or self-mill to make that worthwhile.
So you don't think it should see more play? You think it's...
I don't think it should see more play. I think that it's on my watch list for a future format.
A future format? You mean a future... Pioneer
future meta,
you mean?
Meta, yeah, meta is probably the right word.
Okay, there we
go.
Sorry. do you agree with that, Connor? Do you think Deathrite Shaman could see play in the future?
Yeah, some people might not like me saying this, but I actually think Deathrite Shaman is just awful. I think it's just a terrible one drop to play in Pioneer. Every time I've played against it or tried playing it, it has been nothing short of terrible.
If we get another fetch,
you know, sorry, go ahead.
If we get another fetch in the format, you know, we have Fabled Passage now. If we get another one, will it become better? Like, will it become playable, do you think?
If you're That's able to play definitely why it's not playable right now, is because specifically fetch lands are not legal in the format. And I actually don't want fetch lands to be legal, and I don't want more fetches, because then you're going to have cards like Dig Through Time banned. And then you're going to see a whole bunch of other cards banned like they are in Modern, because fetches exist. Right.
Yeah.
That's kind of an alert to Pioneer for me, as a fetchless format.
Okay. So Deathrite Shaman died for the fetch's sins.
Yes.
It did. Okay, another card, again, this is back to Connor, man. I've seen you play this before and on decks on stream. It was Sigarda's Aid. You know, it's the one mana enchantment that lets you put, was it artifacts or enchantments into play at instant speed? Right? And attach them?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me go ahead.
Yeah, so I...
I'm saying auras or equipment specifically, just correcting.
Oh, yeah. So I guess, you know, if I'm touching on Sigarda's Aid, I have to touch on the Hammer deck a bit too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's really the only deck that it's probably ever going to see play in, unless there's something wild printed. But it was just an extremely... good card in the Hammer deck. And the Hammer deck was really good because Uro was legal specifically. And we built, me and my friend, we specifically built the Hammer deck to beat Uro decks. And that's exactly what that deck did. We had an insane win percentage against it. You know, even in competitive events too, a lot of not very close matches against Uro. And Sigarda's Aid is a, you know, obviously Colossus Hammer pairs very well with Sigarda's Aid, right? Because it gives it flash, and then when it enters the battlefield, you can equip it to a creature for free using Sigarda's Aid. So, but I don't really think that's going to see play at all. Especially right now, the Hammer deck is just terrible right now. Now that Uro's gone, that deck died with the Uro ban, which is a good thing. But
I mean, I don't could it see play in Auras in the future?
So say again?
Could it see play in an Auras deck in the future? You know, like black-white auras or blue-white auras or green-white auras.
Does it give you auras flash too? I've never used it for that, actually.
Right, Kevin?
Yeah, definitely gives
auras. Oh, it does give auras flash, yeah. Yeah, so I'm not really sure what deck would want to give, you know, an aura flash and then spend one mana, you know, not playing a creature or an aura to enchant a creature. Right? It's kind of off-plan. With like an Auras kind of creature deck, right? Like that's why Auras of Auras doesn't play it, right? Because it's just kind of off plan.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas in the Hammer deck, it fit in perfectly, right? But
so
that would be my guess for why it wouldn't really show up in those type of decks.
If we get better equipment, do you think it'll become playable again then?
Yeah, like definitely. If we get like, I really like the design on Colossus Hammer. I think there's probably quite a few people out there who would say the same thing, because it's just kind of an interesting card to build a deck around. You know, a cheap mana value cost on it mixed in with, you know, it being really expensive and hard to use while it's in play. And then that card kind of pairs with it. So if we get another card that's similar to Colossus Hammer, that would be great.
I mean, there especially was like
for Sigarda's Aid.
I want to say there was like a Dark Ascension, like one mana... It's a one mana artifact, and I think it gives your creature +3/+0, and if it deals damage, it flips and turns into like a 13/13 flying demon or something like that. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? It's like Erebus is something. Knife of Erebus, really? Maybe.
What set is
if,
it from?
If it transforms, you're talking about? Or are you talking about the one from the original?
It transforms into a demon if it deals damage. It was in Dark Ascension, I believe.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So there was one from the original Innistrad.
So something like that would be like fun. That. If we go back to Innistrad, you know, this year, later in the year, or if we even go back to, Mirrodin or something, hopefully we get some good stuff. All right, let's do a couple more, if you guys don't mind. Kevin, what about Traverse the Uvenwald? That hasn't really seen any play lately, has it?
Yeah, we haven't had really, you know, since we lost Uro, haven't really been having any slow green axe decks. You know, I was playing it a little bit in, like, I was playing, like, a Bant Yorian, but I'm trash. You know, the Sultai, if it was, like, a slow Sultai deck, probably could have been playing it, but I think that losing Uro really hurt that deck too bad for it to recover right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the future, but certainly it just doesn't, it can't be played in any aggro decks as long as we don't have something like Fetches to easily get it in our yard. Mm-hmm. So it's really only going to be playable right now in slower green whatever decks.
Yeah, green black or whatever, some Sultai, yeah. Can you guys think of any other one drops that are underrated that maybe should see some play in the future?
Not really, no.
Didn't really have anything else on your list? Okay.
Yeah, we kind of went over a lot. I mean, I think we already talked about Tulkov Exemplar. That card should be seeing a lot more play in it.
Yeah.
Probably will, but other than that, I can't think of much.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Yeah, we've kind of been all over the place, and I think that we've covered a lot of material here. Can we kind of try and wrap it back up for as we head to our closing? So
sure.
Yeah, we talked about one drops this episode. We went over a bunch of our top one drop creatures, a bunch of what tribal decks use one drops and where we think we need more of them, as well as then we talked about non-creature one drops.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that's going to probably bring us to the end of our show. If you guys like this kind of content, you know, this was a little bit different for us, but we did enjoy certainly having you on, Connor, to be a guest. And I think that certainly added relevant as far as aggressive decks right now. But if you guys want to follow us, we are at MDG Pioneer on Twitter, and you can also reach out and find our Discord there, a few different ways to follow us. We'd love to hear you guys' comments on any of the shows or anything else going on in Pioneer.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Yoshwenky, Yoschwenky. And again, thanks for coming on, Connor. Really appreciate all your expertise and your insights on the aggro decks of Pioneer. Do you have any promotions, anything you want to shout out or advertise?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me on. It's really cool to be on the show. You guys do a great job, so glad to be here, you know? Yeah, and definitely... you can find me on Twitter, ConnorMan11, ConnorMan11 on Twitter. And then I also stream pretty often on Twitch. I'll actually be doing that after the podcast today. But on Twitch, I'm ConnorMan11, same as my Twitter, ConnorMan11 on Twitch. So twitch.tv/ConnorMan11. And you can find me on there. I stream usually around 7:30 Pacific time, usually Monday to Thursday, and then usually kind of randomly on the weekend. Once, maybe, if there's a big event. So
it tends to work out that I'm like just getting ready to go to sleep, and I'm like, ooh, or I could watch Connorman play for a few hours instead of sleeping.
Yeah, it's great for me because you stream like in my middle of the day and sometimes early evening, so I'm on the train, just turn on Connorman.
Cool, that's cool you guys watch.
All right. Kevin, you want to wrap us up then?
Yep, that's going to bring us to the end of our show. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you one last time for being on the show, Connorman. We appreciate it. And for all of our listeners out there, we are the First Pioneers Podcast. We are looking forward to being your go-to source for Pioneer information online. First Pioneers, signing off.